Everybody, welcome Tim.
Good morning. It's so good to be here. Whether you're in person or online, thank you for spending part of your Sunday here with us. My name is Tim and I serve as the senior pastor here. And it is amazing, and it's always amazing, and we're always invited to see and be in awe of how God works through His Holy Spirit to connect things together. So already this morning, I mean, all of that, you could leave it just there, and I hope it powerfully ministered to you, but it is such a good introduction for what I'm going to talk about today. I was going to pray again, and it's never bad to pray, but I just thought instead what I'll say is that I hope God will make it the desire of our heart to love Him this morning, and that you are safe and can be safe, and the Bible shows you that you are safe in surrendering to God today. So maybe it's for the first time in following Jesus and surrendering your life, and I'm going to tell you exactly what that means. Or as I speak about wounds today, which is a big topic and a hard topic, that you are safe to surrender. So, we've been speaking about legacy, and Ashton and I caught up, and I love that example from that 80th birthday of how that man was remembered. And that really is what I've been saying, is it's much less about what you do and how you do it and why. That is what people are going to remember of you. And your presence has an impact in people. We are looking at what is the legacy of an authentic follower of Jesus. I want to recap last week. We looked at just two verses. I don't even think I looked at the whole of the second verse. I want to make this really clear. We looked at Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. We're going to continue a little bit further today. But what is the recap as we looked at that passage? Not yet. Let's go back. Sorry, get rid of that. People will be distracted. Here we go. Number one, we had 5 points last week. You can go back and check it out again. We have witnesses showing us the value and victory of faith for this race of life. They are not witness scrutinizing your journey, but rather should be an encouragement as we run this race together, not in competition, but in supporting and celebrating each other. Number two, we need to throw off religious legalism, sin, and be healed of our wounds. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. Number three, we need to prioritize the ingredients of perseverance in our lives, these daily practices of following Jesus, of which coming and being together as the body of believers is an integral one. And I just have to say that I returned, I may or may not have committed a crime, and my lawyer is saying, Tim, what are you doing? You never say that you did anything in front of people where it can be recorded like this. I returned the sand and rocks that I borrowed for that analogy. So yes, I did realize my lawyer was saying, I counsel you to stop speaking right now, which is probably what he's saying. My lawyer is not here. I'm just kidding. But I did return it. Realize that God, number four, has marked out and gifted all of us for this race. And so we're looking forward to exploring that together with training nights for what has, how has the Holy Spirit gifted us? And number five, to make it, we must look to Jesus every day. Yes. And I know and hope that you know that, but you cannot overstate how much that is needed and how often Christians are walking going, I can make it, but they're not actually looking at Jesus every day. You need to. And we have talked about before how 3 minutes reading the Bible 4 times a week statistically actually transforms a person's life. Maybe slowly, it could be quicker, but like it doesn't take much. That is the point. And here's the main thing I kind of said, apart from aspects of life that sideswipe us unexpectedly, your legacy is largely the product of compounding interest of little things repeated. Everyone thinks, I've got to do this one big thing and that's my legacy, but actually it's more about consistency in the little and how God uses that and grows it compoundingly. Success comes from small steps today, Success is being obedient to God today. All right. Speaking about being healed of our wounds, we're going to take you on a little bit of a journey. And I thought, you know, this could be kind of heavy, so maybe we'll start it a slightly different way. But can anybody tell me, I've got something in a pocket of this jacket that I need. Where is it? Who's first? Hand up. No, that's my mum. She can't have that. Is that Miranda? What do you reckon? This one? Okay. I can't leave these on long. I need these to read, which I don't wear very often. But yesterday, my name is Dr. Schmock, and I would be your psychiatrist. And I'd like to take you on a hypothetical journey today as my German accent declines. I'm going to have to take these off because I will fall off the stage, but they are very good at helping me. Yeah, it's good. It's in HD. Just want to make you laugh before I jump into this. I really want to tread, as we talk about wounds, I want to tread with compassion and care, but not dilute or diminish what the Bible says and what Jesus has done. So let's talk about it. Too often, the legacy of an authentic Christian, and it doesn't have to be, but too often, it's pain passed on. A legacy is pain passed on. And so today, the title of my message is Don't Pass On Your Pain. Don't pass on your pain. And you'll be able to watch this again. I'm trying to cover quite a bit without confusing people, but you can go back and watch it, take notes. But as you know, it's too warm in here to wear this. I got my point across. Miranda's going to get her prize. Good times. The prize is the glasses. No. Pain is unfortunately part of our human experience. It just is. It is the product of a fallen world in which sin, the root of evil, is real. It wounds us and it wounds others. The reason God sent his son into the world because God has a plan to restore and remake and reconcile even against all of the weapons of the world that come against us. It wounds us, we wound others. If that's true, and I think it is, it's pretty self-evident, why so often are our wounds celebrated? You might be like, what are you talking about? Here's the reality. Wounded people can be very, very successful because they are driven to succeed. But the motive of that can be deeply destructive. Often we see one of two things happen. Either someone will implode or they will explode. What do we mean by that? Implosion is that person who you see who falls deep into addiction and kind of gives up and in doing so destroys their lives and often the lives of others. And if you're still alive, nothing is beyond God's power to heal and restore. But that's the implosion. People give up and they fall victim to so many things because they're trying to cope with that pain. Or they explode and they are often some of the most driven and sometimes successful people that we see, but over time it leads to their destruction and their demise. How often do we see that highly successful people are emotionally and relationally disastrous? Often out of this place. Tina Yong. I don't listen to TED Talks that often, but every now and then there's a topic that I'm like, that's really interesting. Who likes the TED Talk? Yep. We're not watching one today. She writes, or she states, in The Rise of the Trauma essay in college applications, that there's been a distinct shift from applying by sharing our passions in taking steps to grower and higher education to rather being asked and celebrated for sharing our pain. Now, being vulnerable, being authentic, and saying, this is what I've been through and I've grown, I want to celebrate that. That is not an inherently bad thing. But here's the thing. In a world that says rise above and be defined by our passions and our hopes, maybe what you want to accomplish or the problems that you want to fix, it's really doing a good job of defining people by their pain rather than what could be a wonderful legacy that you leave in the world in how people remember you. Pain is to be acknowledged and worked through. It's a signal that something needs healing, but it should not define us. Amen? Yes? We got to walk through that. What are you motivated by? What are you motivated by? Unfortunately, if people have experienced a lot of trauma or pain in their past, often they feel deeply unworthy. That's why we have so much imposter syndrome. Like, what am I doing here? I don't deserve this. And we don't want to be entitled, but unfortunately what happens is if people are unworthy, then they either just give up or they strive and grind to be worthy. Neither of those things is going to make you worthy. Neither of those things will last. Studies being done with returned soldiers and people who've experienced PTSD. Why is it that two people can go through a war scenario in very similar ways? One comes back well, the other doesn't. Well, here's what it is. It is a lot to do with how you view your circumstances. If you believe that circumstances have power over you, then it takes you to a lower mindset, and the outcomes are usually you give up, you're unworthy, you implode. If you believe that you have power over it, often it takes you to a higher place and you might explode or strive or keep going. But the thing is, you're still trying to do it in your own strength. Has a lot to do with our perspective on suffering. Are you overcome or are you an overcomer? And this is not to say, like all of us, I have felt overcome by things at times. But I remember what is true about me, especially in light of the finished work of Jesus. How do we experience the circumstances in our lives? Look, these principles are done in studies that are not Christian studies. The same principle applies, but, and I want to say this, as we are safe to surrender, the power to live free is found in Jesus and nowhere else. Amen? Yeah. I ummed and ahed as I was working through this message, but I want to show you this clip. It's a very short clip from the series called The Chosen. And thank you. You know, Damien was here at like 20 to 8 this morning making sure stuff like this works. So my deep appreciation. But I think this is really powerful. Let's check it out.
Leave me alone.
Mary. Mary of Magdala. Says the Lord who created you, and he who formed you. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine.
Well, kind of like moves me to tears every time. The Chosen is definitely worth watching as you read through scripture at the same time. Read about Mary Magdalene, who was delivered, who was healed. And there's another scene after this where a Pharisee who is just, he is really searching for the truth, that's Nicodemus. He had tried to heal her and then he finds her fully healed and whole. And he's like, what had happened after I did what I did? How long until you were healed? And she's like, it wasn't you, it was Jesus. You know, today, as we turn right now to Hebrews 12, 2-3, you might think, I don't need deliverance. I don't need this kind of healing. I haven't been through this kind of thing. And I'm glad for you. But a lot of people have. And I hope that this would equip you to care for someone who you will come across at some point in your life. That this might help you, equip you to care for them in that moment. Let's read Hebrews 12. As we continued from last week, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Man, I'm praying that you would have a fresh revelation. I showed you that clip so that you could see a vision of Christ healing someone as Jesus is walking and present right now, healing people and bringing breakthrough and bringing sight to the blind and setting captives free. A new revelation of this history-hinging event in what Jesus has done. Don't let your pain blind you to the price that was paid to set you free. It is finished. It's been done. So let's walk in the reality of it. Stop thinking of yourself as worthy or unworthy, but who you are in light of the finished work of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this of us. Go! God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, the crushing weight of all of the sin of all time, of every one of us who has ever lived or will ever live was on him, so that in him your question, am I worthy? Am I good enough? What needs to happen? This already happened. You just need to say, I believe that this is true for the world, but right now for you. It's a big thing. Some people can believe, I believe that's academically true. I might even believe that that is true for someone else. But do you believe that it is true for you so that in him we might become the righteousness of God? Rather than being bound by what has happened to you, you can live free in Jesus by what he did. It's a race. It's a journey. It has really hard parts. But you have been set on a rock of who you are in what Jesus has done. You've been gifted for what you face. But you will not make it without looking consistently at Jesus. And Jesus presents the most compelling of whys. You need a why. Why keep going? Why not just give up? So many other people give up. Why can't we just give up? Well, we look at Jesus to see why. Number one, obedience to God. Jesus' compelling why, his obedience to God. Death on a cross was brutal, a criminal's death, shameful, public condemnation, humiliation, and this is the death that Jesus died on our behalf. But I love this. I don't know who wrote this. Jesus went willingly. His life was not taken from him. He laid it down in obedience to the will of the Father. I feel like I need to say that again. Jesus' life was not taken from him. He gave it up willingly. So he was obedient to God for the sake of the joy set before him. Sometimes we feel like faith is just this random, ethereal, like little fairy dust off in whatever. That wasn't even how the faith of Jesus worked, let alone what we are invited into. The joy set before him was the promised eternity with his Father and with all who believe in him. That is us. Listen to this. Satan's happiness was short-lived when Jesus rose from the grave, but Jesus' joy is eternal, both for him and all who follow him into eternal life. Happiness is not something that is worthless, but happiness is not a fruit of the Holy Spirit alive in you. Joy is. That's what Jesus was looking at. That was his winning strategy, and he has won. We have battles. We feel like, oh, I don't know who's going to win or what's going to happen. And yes, we go through them, and we need so much compassion for the journey that people are through. Jesus' overriding response when he looked at people was compassion. And yet we live in a victory that is done. The end is written. There's no, I'm not sure how this is going to work out in Jesus. It is done. So Jesus' winning strategy, focus on the joy to come. Kristen Weatherall, because that's the good news of Jesus. That's what he has done. He gave his life that you might be forgiven, reconciled to God, the perfect Father in heaven. Jesus intercedes for you at the right hand of God, and the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you and makes you fruitful, comforts you, strengthens you, gives you wisdom to go, hang on, this is a horrible situation that I don't need to stay in. But then there are other situations where we don't have the power to get out of them, except for in the Lord. He will walk with you through anything. Kristen writes, next one. She's the author of Hope When It Hurts, Biblical Reflections to Help You Grasp God's Purpose in Your Suffering. She says, we need God's gospel, the good news of Jesus, to suffer well. And we need it, what, once? No, we need it every day because parts of life suck. I'm sorry, like I want to say it more brutally and compassionately, like parts of life are just horrible. It is not the way that God planned it to be, but he will walk through every part of it with us. We need it every day and never more than when life hurts. The better we know it, what? The good news of Jesus. And the more we remind ourselves of it, what? The good news of Jesus. The more precious we realize it, the good news of Jesus is. And without it, the good news of Jesus, suffering makes no sense. With it, suffering is transformed. I'm so challenged as I was preparing this in parts. I'm like, do I leave that in? Do I take it out? But I think this stuff is so important for us. Ephesians 1, 19 to 20 says this. I also pray, Paul is writing this to the church in Ephesus, that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. We have got to understand. So often we're like, our weapons are these and they are in the natural and they are what we can see, but that's not what the Bible says. The Spirit of God is invisible, but we feel him and know his presence. And the weapons that we have in this warfare, in this broken world, are not the natural things, but they are mighty and spiritual for the pulling down of strongholds that people might find healing and sight. I reckon I've got about 11 minutes more. Is that cool? Yep. You doing all right? Yep. I want to give you some really practical strategies. I want to give you practices for healing our wounds and trauma recovery for your sake and that of your legacy. And I know that walking through this takes courage and bravery. It takes vulnerability. But there's someone sitting in a darkness that they think they're stuck in, and you're not. And the Bible actually says that the light, who is Jesus, will shine in the darkness, and it doesn't actually matter how much darkness comes, because the light will shine brighter and the darkness will not overcome it. Just let him in. It's safe to surrender to Jesus. God can heal in an instant, and so we pray like he can. Amen?
Yes.
Sunday week, you know, the person who needs healing, we're praying like God can just go, you are healed now. But often too, God works in a process. Just before I give these, I think I've got five. We need to understand seasons as well. And if you're in what feels like a dark tunnel, not only is there a light at the end of the tunnel, but there's actually light walking with you in the tunnel. You're not alone. And the Holy Spirit is with you. The presence of Jesus is alive in you through the Holy Spirit walking with you. And we are here with you. We want to walk with you. We want to encourage you. We want to care for you. There's light even in the darkest part of the tunnel when we have Jesus. And I want to say too, if your suffering is causing a wrestle in your faith, that happens to quite a few people. You're not alone in that. And I want to say today, it's not doubts that cause people to walk away from the Lord. You know, it can hurt when someone decides they're going to walk away from, like, the church you're in, right? But our care has to be so much more that they don't walk away from God and from faith, because we're not the only church. It's not doubts that cause people to walk away. It's unexpressed doubts. God is not scared of your questions, and neither are we. Please come and talk to me. Come and talk to us. Talk to someone if you're having doubts. A wrestle in your faith. Like Paul says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean it's all easy, does it? That language is not something we talk about when things are easy. So let me go through some of these practices for trauma recovery. Number one, prayer. You might be like, oh man, that was not worth the price of admission. But do you know what? Prayer is actually a natural human response. When people are in trouble, they utter things like, Lord, help me. Because there's something there. And if you go see a psychologist, a psychiatrist, a counselor, there is no one, Christian, non-Christian alike, who will diminish the power of prayer. It's just we who know Jesus know where that power is actually coming from. James 5:13 says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray.
Amen.
Sometimes I think what we do is we go, I'm in trouble, I need someone else to pray. The Bible actually says, if you're in trouble, start praying. We want to pray for you too and with you, but you start. Three of the best prayers we can offer sometimes in the midst of trauma, wounds, pain, and suffering. And this might be all that we can do. Let's go to the next one. Might just be help, thanks, and wow. I don't know your exact situation or what you have walked through, whether it's been recent or whether it's part of your childhood or whatever it is, but sometimes we have seasons in our life where all we can say, we can't lift our own hands in prayer, we need someone else to help us. And all we can say is help, thanks, and wow. And God is okay with that. Romans 8, Why? How can I say that? Because Romans 8 says this, and I've loved this passage for a long period of time. We have a value here. Prayer is where we start. We are passionate about prayer. It says this, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. I don't know about you. I am so thankful for that because I am weak. And the Bible says, when I am weak, I am strong. Oh, I need those glasses again. Help me from the fluff. Anyway, helps us. We do not know what we ought to pray for. Let's just go back. Go back a slide for me. Help, thanks, wow. We do not know what to pray for. Let's go back again. But the Spirit Himself, the Holy Spirit, the person of the often forgotten person of the Trinity of God who is here right now with us, living within us through Christ, intercedes for us through wordless groans. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you would do this, and would you do this today? And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. The start of Hebrews 12, the will of God. God knows His plans and has marked them out for you. All of this is just this compounding truth that I hope will be a foundation for your life. So number one, prayer. Everyone say number two. Number two. I've called this scriptural lament. And so what I want to do is just go, Scripture is integral to this journey. And what is lament? Lament is a very mature Christian response that God's people have practiced pre-Jesus and since to say, wow, the reality of this broken world is so hard, I am going to actually express this truthfully. And God does not mind. We see this especially in Psalms. We see examples of lament, prayers that come out of grief, trauma, tragedy, and sorrow. And a lament asks God questions. He is not scared of your questions. Like this, let's go to the next one. How long, oh Lord, what is going on? How long do I have to go through this? Why am I going through this? When are you going to? Or when is this going to stop? And where are you? Where are you, Lord? Lament provides the opportunity to pour out our pain before the Lord and express our honest confusion, hurt, and anguish. And it's a prayer form that is often uncomfortable for modern Christians. And I wonder if a big part of us not sometimes having the perseverance or getting through the suffering we're going through is because we are far too distracted to spend time in prayer, in the Word of God, or doing something that is deeply authentic, mature, and time-consuming. But if you want to find healing, this is what you've got to surrender. This is part of surrender. But I want to accomplish all of this in my legacy. Yeah, but if you don't sort out some of these things with God, your legacy is not going to be a good one. Don't pass on pain. You don't have to. Lamentations 3. You should go back and read it, but it is pain poured out before God. It is authentically, brutally honest. And then this is written at verse 22, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new. Be honest, who's singing the song in your head? Good job. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore denotes my soul isn't kind of doing this. And my soul might not want to do this, but because of this, therefore, I will hope in Him. There's traditional structures of a lament, address God, bring your complaint, ask for help, declare trust in God and praise God. And I mean, isn't that often our practice on a Sunday when we come? I want to remind you, John 16:33, Jesus says, I've told you these things that in me you might have peace. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Scriptural lament. Number three, movement. Go for a walk or do an activity and talk to God at the same time. This has huge implications for people who've experienced trauma. And of course, it needs to be somewhere safe. You might need to have someone who is with you. But just sitting behind closed doors and in a room is not often helpful for people. Number four, you doing all right? You with me?
Yep.
Journaling, letter writing, creative expression. Sometimes we carry trauma in our mind and we carry it in our body, and there are things that need to be expressed. They need to get out. And these are some of the ways that you can do it. And these steps have come from Christian professional counseling services and research that I've been looking at. These steps work. These are so helpful. Maybe you need to write that email or a letter that you're never going to send. Don't put the address and a stamp on it. Don't put the person's address in the to in the email. But maybe you need to write it. And number five, professional counseling. I think for a long time there have been, anything in the world has, we've just said it's a fallen world. Anything in this world has the potential to be abused. But we have to remove the stigma around professional counseling. And if there's a chemical imbalance, people need help from medicines that will actually set people free. Yep. We go first to Jesus and we pray for healing and we walk alongside. But these things are things that we can see as God giving people incredible insight into helping people rather than just a lack of faith. Don't tell someone who isn't healed that they have a lack of faith. Love them, encourage them, walk with them, pray for them, be there, help them get help they need. And we are here to help you too. Yep. The counselor can help guide you navigate all of these steps. Not only your emotions and healing of the trauma, but how it's impacting your faith as well. Like I said, so many people end up wrestling with their faith. But we can't forget in all of this to go to the healer. I'm going to get the worship team to come up. And in this last song, we are going to have, I think we've organized like 8 or 9 people who are going to come and stand up here. And I know it takes courage, and I know it takes bravery and humility and vulnerability, and it can be downright the scariest thing that you've done this year. Amen. But these people are people that I trust and you can trust. They are our elders. They are our prayer team. They are our pastoral care team who want to listen to you confidentially, pray with you, pray for you, and help you get further help if you need it. We are here for you. In the last song, they're going to come up as we're going to sing. But Jesus, as we look to him, knew he had to go through these circumstances, dying on a cross. He also knew that he would conquer it, and we can know the same things through him. You know, how we see those things in our life, whether we can in Christ overcome them or they are going to overcome us, has a huge part to play in us walking free. And I would say the biggest part of that is actually knowing who we are. Tim Keller, who passed away recently, said this, and I love saying this, and I say it really often, but he said, Christianity gives you the only identity that is received and not achieved. It is received and not achieved. Galatians 5:13, two parts of this. Let's go to the next one. I'm going to wrap this up and get singing and praying. It says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Why is it? You know, we talked about why people do what they do, whether they implode or they explode, whether they feel worthy or unworthy, they give up or they strive to be seen as worthy. These principles apply, but the greatest of them is the healer himself, that of Jesus. But why is it that two Christians, hypothetical Christians, can walk through life through very similar circumstances, and one comes out bitter, cynical, questioning everything, mean, frugal, won't help anybody, and yet the very next person with a similar story can come out kind and generous and joyful and ready to serve? What is it? It is a vision of the fruits of the Spirit and just the healing of that brokenness in Jesus, and ultimately it comes through our surrender. Why would you want to be the first one? And yet, it's probably true that maybe all of us who have been in church for some time know these two different people. Hypothetical. They're not here. I'm not saying it's a real person. You know what I'm saying. How is that possible? It's the same Lord. It's the same Savior, but it has so much to do with our surrender. You know, faith in Christ for salvation is more than just for when you die. It's for healing and restoration today, that you might then go and be an agent of healing and restoration. Amen?
Amen.
This is what we are called to be free. The last thing we'd wish upon our children or the generation after us is to receive our unresolved pain. But some of us just won't let it go. You actually do have to let it go. You're invited to let it go. You're invited to surrender. You're invited to come, just like this morning. Come and by faith receive all that is on offer in Jesus. He is saying to you today, he is saying your name, the God who created you, is saying, come to me and find healing and find transformation. And even it might be something that you're like, I think this is going to continue for a time. Well, then he is going to walk with you through it, and we are going to walk with you too. That's what it means to be a Christian. It's not just for salvation when you die. It's to walk with a Savior. It's to live in community. It's to find help. It's to know the comfort of the Holy Spirit as you navigate this broken world. Let me say three things to you. You are worth saving. God has proved that in giving his Son. So you are worth saving. Through Christ, you have been made worthy. And three, in Christ, your troubles will not conquer you. Not because of your strength, but because of his. And so today, I invite you, come and be prayed for. Do not continue to walk as a captive to what has happened to you, but be set free by what Jesus has done for you. Let's sing.